Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I don't know if you've been following the news lately, but it has been crazy for the financial world. So what is going on is our stock market here in the United States is going down. So it is doing what we call a correction. A correction is when the stock market goes down by about 10%. Now, if it went down by 20%, we call that a bear market. So that's just kind of a differentiator. So it's not crashing, it's correcting. And this is very normal. But so many people get really scared when they see the market going down that they immediately freak out and want to sell their stocks. So I just want to be the voice of reason here. The market corrects once a year. Once a year, we go through this. And it is scary, and it hasn't actually happened for quite some time, which is why it feels so bad. So it seems like a bigger deal than it actually is. Invest for the long term and just keep your money where it's at. That's the only advice I can give to you. Of course, I'm not a financial planner. So if you are unsure about that, talk with a financial planner for sure. But my strategy personally is I'm keeping my money exactly where it is and I'm not changing my investing strategy whatsoever. So I hope that helps inspire you. If you're losing money and it's scary, I get it. I lost thousands of dollars in 4 days. I totally understand. But keep on that same path. That's the way investing works. It's just the strategy, the way it goes. So don't be scared. Okay. Hopefully that helps ease your mind a little bit. So one of the cool things too that I just love seeing is throughout all the craziness, all the news, all the negativity, you guys are always so impressive with your money wins. I just think it's the coolest thing ever. So this is a money win that I have to share that came from one of my private coaching clients, Lisa. Lisa says, I just paid off the last of my $15,000 student loan. She paid off all of her student loans in just 4 months. No more debt for me. Hashtag money win. Lisa, you are incredible. I am so, so proud of you for working hard and being diligent and getting your debt cleaned up. That is super impressive. And no more student loans. Like, I can't even imagine how that probably feels. So congratulations on that. Guys, if you are personally interested in working one-on-one with me, I do coaching and I love it. I think it's a ton of fun to see people's progress and their results and ultimately get the successes that they deserve. So with a little bit of help and a little bit of a plan, I promise most people can actually get incredible results. You just have to have a little bit of structure. So if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, there's a link in the show notes where you can go directly to submit your application. What we'll do is we'll hop on a phone call, see if coaching is the right fit for you, and I can give you a few pointers directly on that phone call as well. So it's a really cool opportunity. Okay, so let's dive into today's guest. Today's guest was Liron Omrani. He is the co-founder and CEO of Debitize. Debitize is a financial tech product that I have been really kind of geeking out on. So it's a personal finance app that lets you use any credit card like a debit card so that you can still get all the credit card perks, but you don't have to worry about the credit card debt. I think this is really interesting. Liron founded Debitize to help simplify, optimize, and automate personal finances, especially around credit card spending, where he actually witnessed a big need. Prior to founding the company, he was the executive director at JP Morgan, where he spent 9 years as a derivatives marketer. Liron graduated from UC Berkeley Haas School of Business with a master's in financial engineering. He has a bachelor's in economics and molecular biology, also from UC Berkeley. Super interesting guy, right? Definitely a diverse background. So in this episode, we got to chat about his background. How do you go from economics to molecular biology to creating a fintech product? We talk about how he got into trouble for gambling when he was 12 years old. This story is hilarious to me. Listening to his friends' complaints and actually turning those complaints into a fintech business. We talk about how Debitize actually works, what the structure of it is like. His goals for the company now that he's in that CEO role, what he's trying to do to drive the company forward, and how he plans on scaling the business further over the next couple of years. Guys, you are in for a real treat. I am so excited to introduce you to Liron from Debitize.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I'm joined by one of my new friends, Leron Amory. Leron is amazing. I connected with him and really fell in love with the product that he's building and this service that can really help a lot of people. We're going to talk a lot about his product, Debitize. But before we do that, Leron, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm stoked to chat with you because when I was going through your information and checking into who you are as a person, I love that you have a passion or a slight interest in s'mores because I do too. So I feel you, man. It's the best.
And anything with marshmallows, but s'mores especially.
Oh, for sure. And chocolate. It's like, come on. So one of the things that I thought was really cool is your background. But before we dive into your formal education, can you take us back just a little bit and talk to us about how money was discussed in your household?
Yeah, I think I'm lucky in that, you know, my parents were always, very forthcoming about finances and taught me early on about, managing my spending, how to use credit responsibly. They helped me get my first credit card before I went off to college and made sure I didn't, use the full credit line because I could. And, everything from taxes to budgeting, they were always just very sort of, instilled discipline early on, even with, doing chores and getting money, and that's how much you had to spend for the week. So I think I always had an appreciation for the value of money, even when I was younger, and that certainly helped.
That's awesome. Can you recall like a money lesson that was instilled very, very early on that really stuck with you?
I don't think there's any one in particular, but certainly, having to sort of work to earn my allowance, I think was something I now appreciate more than I maybe did when I was younger.
Yeah, for sure, right? So for all the parents listening in, that's a good thing to instill in your kids and make them work for their money. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So when you were growing up as a child, were you kind of that entrepreneurial kid? Were you selling stuff on the playground, or what did life look like for you then?
I was always a problem solver for sure. And I was always very good at math. I wasn't necessarily like starting little businesses. If there was one that I did do, it was in eighth grade. I'm always somewhat attracted to gambling a little bit. not like too much so, but like, especially, NFL pick'em games. I've been doing that since I was like 10, 12 years old with like my neighbors and friends. And one year somebody stopped doing it, so I picked up the slack and I, printed out all the things. This is like before the days of CBS Sportsline where you could do it. And I literally printed out all these pieces of paper and handed them out. And of course, it ended up getting me in trouble. I didn't realize that it's totally illegal to gamble in schools. My parents and I got called down to the police station and had to explain that away.
That is awesome. So gambling at the age of 12. That is so funny. So then you went off to college and you studied at UC Berkeley. Can you talk a little bit about what you studied and why you chose that career path? Because it's a little different than most of us would take.
Yeah, so initially I went in, tending to major in molecular biology and genetics. And, I always wanted to do pharmaceutical research. I thought that'd be amazing to be able to, cure cancer. And, I still think that is amazing. But I realized by the end of my first year that lab work wasn't really for me. I'd get like, that cancerous materials that you weren't supposed to like touch like all over my hands when we were doing lab work. Gosh. And it's just, I'm fine. But like it is. Things didn't really like ever come out the way they were supposed to. I just didn't fall in love with lab work as much as I had wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I had taken a couple econ classes that year also and found economics more interesting. So I ended up double majoring in both and then, found a strong interest in finance. And, I was always interested in personal finance, but realized I wanted to do something in the capital market space. But what I sort of didn't realize at the time, like I really had no clue what I wanted to do. I just knew I sort of liked it and was good at math. And I had one internship interview my junior year where they came in and one of the questions they asked me was, why do you want to do investment banking versus sales and trading? And my answer was, what exactly is the difference? And so I did not get a second round interview with that company, but it helped me sort of like look into that more and realize, okay, I don't want to do investment banking, but I do like capital markets and I'm good at math. And so I ended up staying at Berkeley and doing a master's in financial engineering, which is basically like applied math for finance, and sort of learned about all kinds of sort of like new products within the sort of finance space that you can design and build and price and trade. And that's what I found really interesting. I took that and after I graduated, moved out here to New York and spent 9 years at JP Morgan working on the trading floor on a lot of those interesting products. And I was thankfully like not involved in the creation of, but was close enough to a lot of the sort of crazy ABS CDO stuff that happened. So it was all sort of like, you know, same floor, similar team, but not my team that did a lot of that. And so it was a very interesting time because we saw a lot of innovation for the first few years and then like a lot of just things just falling apart and going terribly wrong. And then, you know, being right there in the middle of the cleanup afterwards was also very interesting.
I bet that was a really good experience too. And I'm just thinking like all the energy and just all the craziness of working on Wall Street would just be incredible as somebody that is appreciative of finance. What made you ultimately leave that world?
You know, I never intended to stay as long as I did. I was there for 9 years. And when I first joined, I probably thought I was only going to be there for 2 or 3 years. You know, I liked it. It was interesting. I liked the people that I was working with. But I never saw myself there longer term. And I knew I always wanted to do something more impactful and to travel more. But it's hard to leave when you're there. There's always, you know, something keeping you. Mm-hmm. And it pays well, obviously. And then by the end of it, I think what the real trigger was I went from, you know, not liking my job a small percentage of the time to not liking my job a majority of the time. And at that point, it was just, you know, I had to pull the trigger. And my boss was nice enough to give me a 6-month sabbatical to do some of that traveling. And it gave me enough time to think about what I wanted to do. And I came back and I just realized that, you know, I wanted to try something different. I didn't really need to do more of the same thing.
I love that. And it sounds like the something different turned into Debitize, the company that you're running today. So we talked prior to this conversation, and I love the story of how Debitize really came about. So can you share that with everybody listening in today?
Of course. Yeah. So as we spoke about, I've always been interested in personal finance and financial literacy. And my friends always look to me for advice. And one of the things I've always tried to tell my friends is that, you know, stay out of credit card debt. Like that's, I think, the key to financial wellness. But at the same time, you should use credit cards because they help you build credit, mm-hmm. You know, get all your rewards and perks and better protection. And I had two friends in the span of a week tell me they were switching from credit to debit. And these are guys who, you know, they weren't irresponsible. They weren't in debt. And I didn't really understand it at first. And I tried to convince them otherwise. And it wasn't until I sort of did more research and really prodded them and started talking to a lot of people that I realized that there's a lot of people out there using debit, and it's mostly for the same reason. It's not because they can't get a credit card. It's they like the peace of mind of paying off their purchases right away. It just feels good to know that you don't have, you know, a balance that you owe a credit card company. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's where the wheels first started turning, because I sort of realized, well, what if you just paid off your credit card purchases every day? Then you're getting your cash back or your airline miles or whatever it is you want, but you're still getting that same discipline and peace of mind. And so that's basically what we're doing with Debitize.
So how long after you discovered that and you were like, what the heck are these people doing going back to debit cards when they're missing all these rewards and all these cool things? So after you had that realization, at what point did the business become the business? When did you start developing it further?
You know, I had the idea like right before I went on one of my little trips, and I sort of started, you know, sort of infatuated with it a little bit on that trip. So I started doing a lot of research, and I came back and, you know, I think I knew this was going to be something. But it was probably like still a side project for me for the first 3 or 4 months. And then eventually, you know, probably that summer I started like really diving in and trying to, you know, putting some money into it and trying to find a co-founder to help me build it, like somebody on the technology side to help me build it. And that was a roller coaster in itself, because the first guy I found He was out there in the Bay Area, and I was going to move back out there, and we were going to work on this together. And, you know, we spent 3 months sort of hashing all this out, and eventually it just didn't pan out with him. And so it's sort of back to square one. So at that point, I just, you know, hired an outsourced development shop to sort of build the first version of the product for me. And that was January or February of 2015. And it took until about August of that year, I think, before we could actually start testing the product just among like 10 friends and family.
That's amazing. So when you first tested that first version, I've got to ask, were you embarrassed of what you were putting out there? Were you like, okay, here's my crappy first draft. Let's see what everybody thinks.
It absolutely was embarrassing, but I think that's the point. When you work on something like this, you have to put something like quick and dirty out there. If you take the time to make it too polished, then you're not, you're sort of spending too much time with it. Cause the quicker you get something out, the more you can learn.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's funny cause one of the things that was embarrassing is, you know, the way it works is we pull money out of your checking account every day to cover your credit card purchases. And so we had a banking partner that was going to, or just a software partner that was working with a bank that was going to help us, you know, do those withdrawals out of your checking account. And they basically went under literally, you know, days before we were ready to start doing this. And as a startup with no history, it's really hard to find somebody that will work with you. On that. And so I had to fall back on Venmo. And so I literally Venmo my friends every night and like tell them like what their purchases were for. And they'd Venmo, and the money went through my personal account into the debitized account. And then we paid the credit cards from there. So it was, you know, we were hacking things that we had to hack. And, you know, eventually, you know, about 2 months later, we were able to integrate a replacement. And they've worked well for the last 2 years now.
That's amazing. So I love that you were kind of scrappy and you're hacking it, Venmoing people. I think that's a really cool story to hear. So for everybody listening in, let's talk about, we saw the very early version now of how you got it going. What does it look like today? How has it evolved? And if somebody was to go to it today, what does it look like?
It looks way, way better. We also have a UX designer that joined the team a few months ago, and he's worked some of his magic. But we have an iOS app out now, which we did not have for a long time. That's been out since September of this year. And there's still a web app. So if you have Android like me, I'm a Samsung user. We still have to wait a few more months, but you can go to debitize.com or download the app in the App Store. And it takes less than 5 minutes to sign up. You link your credit card, your checking account, give some personal information to verify your identity. And then basically it's all automated from there. Most of our users, you know, will come back and check their debitized account every couple of days just to see what's going on. But we'll send you a notification every morning. You know, here's how much we're withdrawing today and which purchases that withdrawal is covering on your credit card. And then money sits in your debitized account. And then about a week before your due date, we'll pay it for you automatically. So your bill gets paid. There's really nothing you have to do. But you know, like I said, a lot of our users like checking the app frequently.
I think that's so amazing. So if anybody listening is like, what did I just hear? Yes, you heard this correctly. You can actually use your credit card like a debit card. Still get all the rewards, still get all those protections. If you're a big traveler, like both of us are actually, then it's nice to have that credit card too, but not be spending frivolously. So I think that's super impressive that's how it works. So I can already hear the questions coming in. So the next logical question would be, does this work with every single credit card? Are there limitations?
Almost every credit card. So we use a company called Plaid to connect your accounts. They support, about 10,000 financial institutions. The big one that you know, they haven't been able to support just yet is Barclaycard. But we're working hard to get that supported. So hopefully soon. But if you have Chase, Wells Fargo, Amex, Bank of America, Citi, all those cards are covered.
That's amazing. And is this the cards that are just like directly through those institutions, or do the credit union cards, do those work as well?
Most of the credit unions do as well. Yep.
Man, that's amazing. So now you're growing this business. You've got how many people on your team now?
We have five on the team now.
Five on your team. That's amazing. And I love that you brought in somebody that's a UI UX person. It's always a smart thing for a website. So now as a business owner, what is your biggest goal with the business?
There's a lot we want to do with the product. We need a bigger team to be able to do that. So we want to help our users, you know, not just pay off their credit cards, but their rent, their student loans, their mortgage, their auto payments, pretty much everything, just to take the stress out of managing your finances. Mm-hmm. So that's the direction that we want to go over the next year or two. We need to raise some money first so we can hire the team to do that. And so that's going to be what's going to be stressing me out for the first few months of 2018.
I love it. And then it sounds like getting it out in front of more people is always a big goal too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about some of the success stories that people are having from using Debitize.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that we've seen a lot of is just credit scores going up, not just from using the product, as normal, but we also have a feature that we start everybody on for free for the first 6 weeks called Credit Optimizer. What that does is it makes the payments to your card every week to keep your utilization low. Your utilization is 30% of your FICO score. And so we've seen people, you know, pretty regularly increase their scores by 30 to 40 points. One guy by 100 points.
Holy crap.
Though that one's clearly an outlier, but yeah, that's amazing, right?
That's very impressive, actually.
Yeah. And we had one woman who, you know, was always using her debit card, and she had been using Debitize for less than a year and like just took her first free vacation with it, with all the points that she had earned on her credit card.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So we love seeing stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So with the users that are currently using Debitize, how do you get feedback from them? Is that something you guys are like actively asking for?
Yeah, absolutely. We love when our users give us feedback. That's how we improve the product. We'll send out surveys to randomly every month or so, not to every single user, but to a subset of people. We have customer support chat, and you know that's how we try to make it easy for our users to reach out to us and share positive or negative feedback, or let us know if they're having any issues, and we try to get back to them quickly. And you know, if we see consistently that something is confusing, then we'll obviously work on improving that. And we will occasionally set up like user interviews as well, where, you know, my co-founder, I, or our designer will sort of reach out directly to people and set up, you know, 15, 20 minute phone calls to really understand like what else is really like bothering them when it comes to managing their money, and sort of how are they using Debitize, and what else could we do to sort of just help them feel more peace of mind.
I love it. I think that's such a cool way to go too. I always appreciate the startups and the businesses that are actively looking for feedback. I think that's something that is definitely unique. You would think it would be common sense, but it doesn't tend to be that way. So I think that's cool that you guys are going that route. What do you think is like the next feature that Debitize might be offering? It sounds like potentially the Android app.
Yeah, hopefully the Android app, early, mid 2018. We're working on a lot of like smaller updates and fixes. And actually, I guess one of the bigger things that you might see even before the Android app is a sort of version 2.0 of the interface. I mentioned, our designer's name's Arthur. The app right now looks great, but what he did was sort of take what we had, the sort of web app that we had, and make it nicer. And so what he's been working on in the background is a totally new version that is going to be even better. And so it's going to have a totally different feel to it. It's going to be really more front and center on like, here are the transactions that you have. Here are the ones that are covered. Here's the balance that's not covered. Really the information that people are coming to Debitize to get, that's just going to be more front and center. And so that we're hoping to have first couple months, 2018.
Makes a lot of sense too. I think that's what people inherently want to see is what are my spending habits and how is this going to look? And I also love that you said for the first 6 weeks that people can have this credit optimization where you guys are paying every single week to reduce that utilization rate. I think that's a really important way to go. And it's another thing too that I appreciate because people don't, I mean, who has time to sit there and make a payment every single week on their own? You know, it's just, we just don't do that. So I think that's a cool feature. Is that a newer feature that you guys have offered?
So we just rolled it out officially 2 weeks ago. So it is very new, although we've had it sort of on in the background for a few people who have reached out. So in the past, you had to reach out to us. We would turn it on like on our side. But now, right now, it's in the app. You can see the credit optimizer. You can enable it yourself. You can turn it off yourself whenever you want. And we actually have a ton of our users using it now, and we'll have, you know, even more data and user stories on it in the next couple months once they see how well their credit score is improving.
So from your perspective, how does financial education play into Debitize? Are you guys kind of doing that, or is that something you don't quite touch at this point?
I'd say we're not. It's not our focus because I think it's such a big problem on its own.
Yeah,
we do see that people come in to Debitize and you know, not surprisingly, because the credit card companies don't make it easy to understand how you're supposed to use a credit card. But you know, we see a lot of confusion around how much do I owe and when, and when am I going to get charged interest and how much. And so we try to help with that when we can. And you know, we're planning to build out more of a knowledge base that people can reference. But you know, I certainly think financial education is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like too big for us to solve here. I always joke around that I don't understand why I had to read Beowulf to graduate high school, but nobody learns anything about this stuff. Nobody knows how to actually live their life without, you know, shooting themselves in the foot. They don't learn about taxes and mortgages and student loans and budgeting in general. They don't, you know, investments, like none of that stuff is really taught at a younger age. And I think that's just terrible for the country in general. And I know it's getting better, but it'd be nice to see it sort of mandatory across every state.
I'm with you, man. It's one of my biggest frustrations too, is when you think back to, like you said, oh, I know all about Beowulf and I can tell you about freaking King Arthur, but I couldn't. Yeah, it's awful that stuff's not taught. So I think it's cool. And I also like that you mentioned it's a big problem, and in an ideal world, sure, we could solve all problems, but you found this one little niche of people that needed your help. I think that's a really good way to go. Do you have any specific examples of where people are going wrong when it comes to using credit cards in general?
Well, I think the biggest place that are going wrong is by not using them at all, because then you're not building any credit. And, you know, I think the last numbers that we've seen are that 2/3 of millennials are shunning credit in favor of debit, and about 40% of them have a thinner unscorable credit profile. So they literally have no credit score. When they go to rent their first apartment or to eventually, you know, want to buy a house, even if it's 5 years out, you have to start early. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest mistake that we're trying to help. But the other one is just, I think when people first get a credit card, they look to their credit line as this is how much money I have to spend, instead of looking to their checking account to understand how much money they have to spend. And so that's the other thing we're trying to do. And that's a lot of what this new redesign is going to do. It's going to show you basically your available balance, which is your checking account balance, less any sort of pending withdrawals that we have coming up for you. So that way you know, this is how much money I have, this is how much I can spend.
Beautiful. That is one of my biggest frustrations as a financial coach, is trying to get people to use their credit card like a debit card. And it sounds like so much common sense, but it's really tricky. And I think that's why it's so cool that Debitize has done this for people. And I'm totally Debitize plugging this whole time, because I think it's such a cool product that I've never seen before. What does the competitive landscape look like for you guys?
So right now we're the only ones out there that are doing this exact thing. There's another company that hasn't launched yet, but is saying they're going to do something similar. And then there's a third company who is launching their own card that is supposedly going to do this. But again, they haven't launched yet, and that one won't be compatible with any credit card. And it also, you have to pre-fund your account, so it's not going to pull money from your Chase checking account every day or your credit union checking account every day. So it's a little bit different, somewhat the same problem that they're tackling.
How do you guys make sure that this is all extremely secure and that my money's safe?
So there's no functionality within Debitize to move money between accounts. So the only place it can go is from your checking account to your Debitize account and then to your credit card. Gotcha. or back to your checking account if you want as well. We use we have a lot of the sort of security features listed on our website, but we use top of the line encryption. Our lead engineer used to work at Lockheed Martin on like super top secret like laser stuff that he can't even explain to us yet. So he knows a lot about all that stuff, and we take that all that very seriously. We don't store any of your credentials for your banks, and it would, even if somebody hacked into Debitize, they wouldn't be able to get any of your sensitive financial information. They wouldn't be able to just sort of like initiate these transfers anywhere.
That's cool. Yeah, I know that's something that people are, even as millennials, it's weird. You would think we'd be very used to this kind of stuff and doing like online transactions, robo-advising, all of these different cool features. But some people are still like, is this scammy? Am I going to lose my money? So I think it's good for people to hear that, no, your money's still safe. You're not going to get your information taken. You have probably more of a chance of getting your information stolen from online purchases like on Amazon. Yes. So I think that's good for people to hear too. This has been incredibly informational for me and for the listeners too. I really appreciate your time and sharing all this with us. I understand you've got a special promo for people listening in. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So if you go to debitize.com/Whitney Hansen, you sign up on that page, and after you've had at least 5 withdrawals, we'll automatically credit your Debitize account with $10. So that's basically 10 free bucks to go towards your next credit card statement, just for giving us a try.
Heck yeah. How long does it take to sign up too?
Literally less than 5 minutes.
Sweet. So like 5 minutes, $10. That's not bad. That's some pretty good cash.
Yep.
Liron, thank you so much for joining. And do you have any final thoughts or anything that you'd like to share before we officially part ways?
No, I really appreciate you having us on the show. And I'd love for anyone listening, share your feedback. Like we talked about earlier, even if you don't think your Debitize is right for you, shoot us a note. Let us know why. Let us know what you'd like to see out of a product like this. And, eventually maybe that's what it'll turn into.
That's so cool. Thank you so much for your time. And I would love to get you on again to talk a little bit about more of the business side of developing, raising money, all of that kind of stuff. I think that would be for sure another conversation. But
yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay. What'd you think? I love this episode with Liron. I thought it was so interesting. The thing that really stuck out to me personally was how he listened to his friends complaining consistently, like who doesn't have friends that complain all the time, and actually use that to create a solution to that problem. I thought it was so interesting to see how people create businesses from those kinds of things. So that really stuck with me and definitely inspired me. I think this interview was super interesting, and Debitize is something that is really kind of cool. So remember, the offer that Liron put out there is if you want to try Debitize out and get $10 put into your account, go to debitize.com/Whitney Hansen, and that will let you try this thing out. So if you're a credit card user and you don't like the way credit cards are structured or the functionality between them, but you don't want to give up on those points, this could be a really good option for you. So definitely check it out. All right, if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. That will make sure that you get every episode directly downloaded to your favorite podcast player every time an episode goes live. Pretty cool stuff. And then while you're at it, if you would be so kind, just leave a review. Let me know what you're thinking of the show. And I would love to hear from you guys. It means the world to me to see your feedback, your support of the show. And ultimately, it helps me get really amazing guests like Liron and so many others on the show to share their stories. Thank you so much for listening in. I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.